The Girl Scout and the Hitchhiker by Jesse Devon Crow. The year we turn 18, I visit you at your parents' home in suburban Boston. I say hello, and how are you, and all the things you say when you haven't seen someone in 3 years. What lovely earrings, and my, how time flies, and aren't we all grown up now, and by the way, who are you? That last part only in my head. As usual, you look so pretty, long dark hair and a ponytail, fingernails buffed, makeup just right, eyebrows smooth and plucked, the delicate smell of Chanel No. 5. Your parents' living room looks exactly the same since I last visited, a lifetime ago it seems, because you're looking at me sadly as if I am a stranger. A stranger standing awkwardly in the foyer waiting to be invited in. A stranger who looks exactly like someone you used to know. You smile and say all the right things, things we were taught to say from the time we were children. How to be polite to someone in your home, even the vacuum cleaner salesman who comes by every April, rain or shine. Have a seat. Would you like a drink? We have orange juice and iced tea. May I take your jacket? And what's that you have? A big backpack, like for hiking? Where is your luggage? That last part only in your head, because you can see I have only the backpack. How was your trip? I say the trip was great. Last week up to New Hampshire, week before down to Cape Cod. Then silence, because undoubtedly family gossip for the past month has revolved around the question of how I traveled 3,000 miles cross-country, a young woman by herself. No one knew I was coming, and if I did not fly or take a train or ride the bus or drive my car, then how did I get here? Especially when my parents don't know the answers to those questions, which undoubtedly they were asked via prompt long-distance telephone calls the first day I arrived. All the family is wondering, did I run away? No, I'm 18. I don't live in my parents' house any longer. I can do what I want, including making a trip back home to where I used to live and visit my aunts and uncles and cousins and old neighborhood, right? But there is still this mystery everyone wants to solve, yet no one is asking, and I'm not saying much beyond I caught a ride with a few friends. It's this elephant in the room, but everyone is too afraid to know the answer because it might mean, well, I leave that to their imagination. You smile and ask how long I'm thinking of staying in New England and what are my plans for the summer. We sit on the edge of the sofa cushions in the parlor, ankles demurely crossed, sipping iced tea with lemon, making small talk about the weather and movies, both of us listening politely. But it's essentially a Tupperware conversation, nothing of importance, nothing personal shared, although we never acknowledge that. Everything all vacuum-sealed with niceties, and I feel it must be my fault, because we used to be so close, and I can't help noticing you're still looking at me oddly, as if I am a stranger. A stranger sitting awkwardly in your parlor waiting to be welcomed. A stranger who looks exactly like someone you used to know quite well. I say, why don't we go out for coffee? Maybe a sandwich, maybe a beer, maybe a walk, really anything that gets us outside and moving, because I can't stand this stagnant feeling. I wish things were back to the way they used to be when we were close as sisters and knew what the other was thinking, although I never say that to you. How we used to hold hands and walk around the block under our mother's supervision, dressed in matching pink dresses with full skirts and bows in the back and plastic barrettes and our pixie haircuts. But that was a lifetime ago, or maybe it's only my memory of you, and now I wonder whether it ever really happened. You smile and retrieve your patent leather pocketbook while I grab my fringe shoulder bag and favorite blue flannel shirt with the paint stains on the sleeve and hand me down from my ex-boyfriend. We head out to the car, a car you borrow from your parents, who wave at the screen door saying, drive careful, honey, be home by 10. At the restaurant, we order coffee, you regular, me black, and you seem more relaxed out from under your parents' listening ears. We talk about books and music and our college curriculum, and it seems like we're really connecting. I'm so glad to have the cousin I remember back. But then everything falls apart. I say, where do you want to go in your life, and what would you most love to do, and when are you thinking of moving out? But you never really answer. Our conversation reaches this point where I ask about your friends, and hope to hear about your boyfriend, but I keep that question in my head, and you pull back, perhaps not wanting to tell me or not knowing the answer, but I never get to find out because, of course, it's time to go so you can get the car back on schedule, because you'll be in trouble if you don't. And when I summon the coverage to ask you what's wrong, you look at me oddly again, as if I am a stranger sitting awkwardly across from you in a booth in a coffee shop, a stranger who looks exactly like someone you used to know quite well, who moved away from Boston 3 years ago to live in San Francisco and has now come home someone entirely different.
You've been listening to an excerpt from The Girl Scout and the Hitchhiker by Jesse Devon Crowell, a creative nonfiction piece written as part of a hybrid memoir project with Elaine Sorrentino. The full piece, with poetry and prose interspersed, was published in Minerva Rising's Home issue number 13. Today's reading encompassed a portion of the prose section. Thank you.